Today's scripture comes from Matthew 18, 15 to 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, church. It's good to be here worshiping with you for the first time. It's good to see so many of you here this morning. When I came last week, there weren't as many, and I was a little bit, you know, but it's good to be here with you this morning. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm already losing my voice. The scripture today from Matthew is a manual for how we as Christians should live together in community. Let me remind you what it says, and I'm reading from a slightly different version to what Terry Ann read earlier. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. I am sure you will agree with me that living in community with others can be very difficult. No? Yes? Harmonious relationships, whether in our homes or in the church, do not happen automatically or without effort. They take continuous hard work. Being in community can be messy and difficult. But being part of a community is still, however, vital to our growth. Of course, we have different talents, different beliefs, different opinions and ideas, and sometimes we're going to clash with each other. And it might not be pretty, but part of living in community means embracing others just as they are and understanding that differences are part of what makes God's community so rich. In our reading today, Jesus urges us to confront the problem directly. Tell the truth that you feel hurt. Seek forgiveness. Determine what needs to be done to restore the broken relationship. But how often do we follow scripture and confront the problem? Sometimes we would rather begin by spreading the story of how we've been hurt. We want to gossip. If we go directly to the person who has sinned against us, he or she might listen to us. If the person listens to us, then we have to restore our relationship. But Oftentimes, we don't want that, do we? We've been hurt. We want to hurt back. So we avoid our enemy. We forget that God tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Our motivation should be to maintain relationship, but our temptation is to get revenge. We want an eye for an eye. But as Gandhi says, an eye for an eye would leave the whole world blind. Here, Jesus offers a better way. He says, start with confronting the person directly. Tell the truth. Confess that you feel hurt and work towards reconciliation. This is what it means to love your enemies and to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, Jesus says, if confronting the person individually doesn't work, then ask a few others to help make a second attempt at holding the person accountable. We all make mistakes in life. None of us are perfect. And our Heavenly Father knows this. And so he asks us to forgive as he forgives us. When we recite the Lord's Prayer, which we will do, I think, after we say our prayers of intercession, we say the words, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, do we mean what we're saying? Or are those just words? Something to ponder later on. Paul reminds us in Galatians that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul reminded them, as he reminds us today, that the church is the body of Christ, made up of many diverse but essential members. He says, no member can rightly say to another member, I have no need of you. So though we all have different personalities, different backgrounds, different preferences, and spiritual gifts, we need to accept and appreciate our differences. We are a people of community. God calls us into relationships. Our God is a relational God. Therefore, the way we treat others matter. It matters. It matters a great deal. And the reading for today from Romans, which we haven't had, and you can look it up when you go home, supports this fact by reminding us that love is the fulfilling of the law. And we are to follow Christ's commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. And again in Ephesians, Paul is emphatic that the church is the body of Christ. He says, just as Christ is not fragmented, neither is the church to be fragmented. He says, the church is to exist and work in perfect harmony, carrying out the manifested purposes of God in the world. So although the aim of the church is unity, it is not unity in the absence of diversity. Contrarily, the church is many members, but one body church, operating together to fulfill one mission. In our baptism, we are called Christians, followers of Christ, disciples of Jesus. We bear his name, and therefore the expectations of us as Christians are higher. Listen to what Paul says to us. I beg you, live a life worthy of the name that you bear. I beg you, live a life worthy of the name that you bear. The Christian's calling is a high calling, a high privilege, a high distinction. Therefore, he asks us not to be hard on others. And we can be hard on others, can't we? Especially if they don't behave the way we expect them to behave. Do you agree? Yeah? We have our little hang-ups and our little idiosyncrasies. You know, I'll just share very quickly. A few months ago in the UK, I presided at a baptism. And of course, before a baptism, you meet with the parents and you tell them what the expectations are in church, that they should arrive at least half an hour before the service begins. And of course, you expect them not to have their mobile phones on. But my parents arrived late, and the father was on his phone throughout this, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking daggers at him, you know, kind of willing him to get a grip and turn his phone off. So we climb up and we're standing around the font, and I have the baby in my hand, and I'm about to say the baptismal prayers, and his phone goes off while we're standing there. I was angry. I was really angry that he did not know how to behave in church. So you see what I'm saying? We have expectations of others. We expect people to behave the way that we would behave, but that is not always the case. So Paul says, don't be cross with them. Let love keep us from doing that. Paul tells us again that a Christian is called to be loving, kind and gentle, compassionate and caring with his or her family, friend, and the wider world. We are to work for peace and justice. As Christians, we are to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. We are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven you. And I just want to close again with the words from Paul. He says to us, as he says to the Ephesians back in the day, I beg you, I plead with you, I implore you, lead a life worthy of the high calling you have received in Christ Jesus. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as we leave here this morning, let us clothe ourselves in Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.